Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
My name is Deborah Cobray, and I am kind of the mom of the church. Jim and I started this church, 29 years ago, almost 28. And we have stepped in the background, and the next generation has stepped forward doing a phenomenal job. Amen. Proud and blessed by the generation that has come up. And thank you for letting me do that tonight. I was so stirred in my spirit. And I appreciate a family that will allow faith to rise and for prayers to go forth. Nothing happens without prayer. And it's prayer that built this house. It's prayer that caused ministries to come into this house. It's prayer that brought us the altar call. It was prayer that got us the finances. It was prayer that built this building. It was prayer that made the Rock what it was. And if we think it's going to happen any other way, we're wrong. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when Pastor Dan asked if I do tonight, because I've been saying no every time they ask me to preach, I don't want to be in front of people anymore. You probably can see why. You know, I don't know if I'm trustworthy. I'm a bit of a firecracker right now. But perhaps that needs to be. Perhaps we need to stir ourselves up again and not be ashamed of what's happened and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like Paul said, I'm in chains and I'm in prison, Timothy. Don't you be afraid and don't you be ashamed. Take your share of the suffering and the persecution. And if you're going to walk this walk with the Holy Spirit, you will be persecuted and people will make fun of you. You won't be thrown in jail in this nation yet, but you will be made fun of. And if you don't like that, then you're in the wrong place, because guess what? My King hung on a cross, stripped naked, and bled and died for me. That's persecution. So I can at least take a little bit of opinions of what people like or don't like of me. And I could care less if people have a thumbs up or a thumbs down on social media, on streaming, on any of those foolish things. We are living in a time of great intellect, but great foolishness. And tonight I want to bring a word that I brought to the women's conference, and I've massaged it a bit, and Dan asked, and Jess said, Mom, please speak this again. People need to hear it. And so I want to talk tonight about rekindling the flame in our lives. I want to talk about what happens when we're not as passionate and as hot as we once were for the kingdom of God and for the King. You see, that happens to all of us. It happened to me. I'm going to preach what I've lived. And so we had this women's conference. It was called Hearts Ablaze. And it was about the fire of God on the inside and the blazing fires of love, and how to just fall in love with Jesus and be rekindled and all of those things. And the Lord gave me a scripture, and he said, when you have your session, I want you to speak on Isaiah chapter 42, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering flax he will not extinguish. I want you to speak on rekindling your flames, because there's many in my house that have grown cold and lukewarm, and they know it, but they don't know how to get out of it. So I don't know if that's anybody here, probably nobody here. This message is for everybody that's not here. But it was for me. And if your pastor's wife can need it, then I'm not preaching to the first three rows. I'm preaching to everybody outside. Because we all live out our Christianity. And we live it out in the everydays of this dusty world. And God wants us inflamed, he wants us afire, and he wants us in faith, because he came to show us who he is and what life was supposed to be like with real humanity. Jesus put on flesh, he didn't take it off. He's still a man seated at the right hand of the Father. And he came to show us what we're supposed to be like and look like. So if you want to know how life is supposed to be, look at Jesus and look at how he acts and what he does. And that's exactly what you're supposed to be in me too. That's everyday Christianity. So if you need to be stirred up in your heart, maybe it's your prayer life, maybe it's your word level, maybe it's just coming to church. You're here tonight. Bless you for coming. But tonight I want to look at three things, and I want to go to the Old Testament, because the Old Testament and the New Testament are integrated. There's a saying that says that the new is concealed in the old, and the old is revealed in the new. The new is concealed, it's hidden, it's a mystery in the Old Testament. The messianic promises and all that was going to come, that was cloaked and hidden, but it's there. And yet, in the New Testament, all that was cloaked and hidden is now revealed and brought forth into the light. And so the two books, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, they segue together into a seamless, beautiful, incredible adventure of God's dealing with humanity and bringing us back into full redemption. He bought us back. Reconciliation, he brought us back to the Father. And complete restoration, where we can be what we're supposed to be, and we don't have to waste any more years. And the real humanity that God had ordained and created can come forth. And that's what he wants to do in your life and mine. He's incredible. He's absolutely beyond any description. One day you and I are going to have the privilege of standing face to face with absolute love, complete and total and absolute goodness, standing and looking into the eyes of the being that created us, that is absolute righteousness, absolute wisdom, absolute brilliance, absolute in every single thing. And we're going to stand there, and he's going to say, welcome. Come, welcome. I've been waiting for you. It's an amazing, amazing hope. And so tonight, if you'll go with me to the Old Testament, we're going to look at something in the tabernacle. And we're going to, what has this got to do with rekindling the flame? You're going to see in a minute. So if you'll go with me to the book of Leviticus, I'm going to read in the sixth chapter. And looking at the sixth chapter, starting with, I have to find it in my Bibles. Did you bring your Bibles tonight? Marilyn Hickey said, if you get in the book will get into you. If you read the book will read you. He's in the book. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. This is not just an ordinary book. This is a supernatural book. 66 books written over a span of 2,000 years by 40 different authors on 3 different continents, speaking many, many languages that didn't meet each other. And they all said the same thing. It's a supernatural book. So in the book of Leviticus, if you'll look with me in chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at the brazen altar, and we're going to explain to you how that is going to help us rekindle the flames. Are you ready? Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers, and he shall put on his body and take up, the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Verse 11, then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. Verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. What in the world has that got to do with rekindling the fire in our hearts? Glad you asked. But before we start, I want to show you a video. It's 1 minute and 33 seconds on the burnt offering, or the altar of the burnt offering. So give your attention to the screens. Let's go back and let's learn a little bit of what this was all about.
And he made the altar of burnt offering of acacia wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof, 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof upon the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of 1 piece with it, and he overlaid it with copper. And he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots, and the shovels, and the basins, the flesh hooks, and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of copper. And he made for the altar a grating of network of copper, under the ledge round it beneath, reaching halfway up. And he cast four rings for the four ends of the grating of copper, to be holders for the staves. And he made the staves of acacia wood, and overlaid them with copper. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar, wherewith to bear it, he made it hollow with planks. Exodus chapter 38, verses 1 through 7.
So you saw what the offer or the altar of sacrifice looked like. And it went into the outer court in the tabernacle where God commanded Moses to begin the sacrifices. And that the priests were committed and told that they were to do three things. They were to offer up the sacrifice every day, and they were to keep it burning at night, that they were to take off the ashes of the altar, and that they were to keep the wood on that altar so that the fire never went out. So having said that, I want to look at that in a New Testament revelation. Is that all right? Because we're talking about rekindling the flame. We're talking about not growing weary in well-doing. We're talking about not growing lukewarm, not growing cold in our faith, not growing into a trap of unbelief and doubt. And all of this is coming upon the earth. Paul said in the last days, there'll be perilous times, hard to deal with and hard to bear, that there'll be doctrines of demons. And we are living in those times. So the church needs to be savvy and understand that if we know what the assignments are and the temptations coming our way, then God will have children that are strong in him and in the power of his might and know how to keep our vessel and how to keep the flames burning so that we don't grow cold. We actually grow up and grow stronger in the Lord. But we've got to understand some things. Now, the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament, and the New Testament was concealed in the Old Testament. So God said, before you do anything to approach my presence, before you come in and you can even approach me, you're going to have a burnt offering, and you're going to have an altar, a brazen altar where all of the offerings are going to have to come because of your sin that has separated you from me. And the blood of bulls and goats and the blood of these animals is going to atone, and it's going to cover you, and it's going to keep you holy. Not fully holy, but it's going to keep you so that there can come out of you, out of your tribes and out of your people, one who one day will be the sacrifice, who will be on that altar called Calvary, who will shed his blood, who will be the ultimate sacrifice, and his blood will cleanse you, not just in a compulsory way where you can approach me, but his blood will so completely cleanse you that you are now holy and you are now righteous and you are now sanctified and set apart for me, and you can now come into my presence daily because you are now a people that are washed in the blood of Jesus, purchased back by his blood, reconciled back to me, and my spirit now lives within you and completely restored, and now you are on a path of restoration to be all that I've told you you can be and all that I've dreamed for you to be. So you see, the old is a picture of the new. So if I look at what the old did, then I can look at what the new it means to me. Does that make sense? So there were priests in the Old Testament. Now it says, and if I can have this scripture up, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And if you'll look with me, in Revelation, and this is not on the books, but I just want to read this to you. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I'm looking at the time because I can't go too long. Is this all right if we have a bit of a Bible study here? Yeah. Revelation chapter 1, looking at verse 6. When John sees the revelation of Jesus Christ in verse 5, and he says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So it's very clear in the New Testament that God had in his heart a nation of kings, royal blood, and a nation of priests that would represent man to God, bring in and stand in the gap on behalf of the land and make intercession as priests. and would also stand in the gap on behalf of God and bring God to man. And that's called the gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel, the witnessing of the gospel, the living out of the gospel. St. Francis of Assisi says, do everything you can to preach this gospel, to do everything you can to be good in this gospel, and if necessary, use words. You see, it's our actions, it's our lives that preach loudest to this generation. Are you with me? So we're a nation of kings and priests. Therefore, that tells me that I have a responsibility, and if I look at what the priests did in the Old Testament, how much more is God requiring that of me in the New Testament as a royal priesthood? That I have sacrifices to make, and I have duties to accomplish and perform for my God. And we did some of it tonight. We did intercession on behalf of this land. So the priests had to do some things. They had to offer burnt offerings. Now, the burnt offering was completely consumed by fire. There was nothing left of it. They weren't to have any of it. They weren't to partake of it. It was completely consumed. And they were to offer that burnt offering and keep that burnt offering going in the night hours. God told them that they were to keep the fires going, that they were never to let the fire go out on that altar, that brazen altar. And God told them that they had to pile up the wood. So I'm going to look at three things tonight to bring the fires of God healthy and burning in my own heart. And it's going to start with number one. If I'm a priest, and if I'm a king on the earth, and if God has anointed me and appointed me for such a time as this, then he knows that in my everyday life, I am going to have opportunity for my Christianity to become common and normal. And for the passion that once beat in my breast and was in my bones to wane and to slow down. It can happen because of disappointments. It can happen because God didn't come through on a prayer. It can happen because of life changes, and we'll look at that. But the first thing, if I'm going to keep the flames going in my life, is number one, I'm going to have to want to. I'm going to have to want to be passionate for God. You see, this is not about religion. This is about, like Pastor Luke preached this morning, talking about marriage and the marriage bed, and that it was a picture of Christ in the church. And not about not in a sexual connotation, but in yada, in intimacy, in knowing intimately. The God of the universe is, he intimately knows us. He wants to open up his life to us and open up our lives to him. So I have to want to stir that flame up. I have to want to be passionate for God. I have to want to every day put that sacrifice on that altar. Now, God isn't asking for animal sacrifices for you and I. Jesus has already been the sacrifice. But he's offering, and he's asking us now in New Testament times to bring our lives as a, say it with me, living sacrifice to him every day. So if I'm going to say, what am I supposed to do to burn this fire and to keep it going like the priests, I am going to have to, number one, bring myself daily as a living sacrifice to God. Now, how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways to do that, and there's a lot of ways to keep this flame burning. I'm gonna give you three out of this passage of scripture and the altar. Is that all right? God doesn't want dead sacrifice. He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want people that are just going through the motions. He wants a passionate bride and a wife that is hungry for him to be with him and to love him and to want to do what he does and go where he goes and hears what he has to say. He wants us to love him. So how do I do that? Well, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Luke read it this morning, so this must be the scripture for the week at the Rock, but let me give it to you in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. If I'm going to be a living sacrifice every day for God, then I show up for duty every morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. I'm offering my life today as a living sacrifice for you. Lord, I want to embrace today all that you have for me. I want to believe today in faith all that you want me and need me to believe for, Lord. So, Lord, here's my ordinary life, because you see, God didn't call famous people and beautiful people and young people and perfect people. He called everybody. And he loves you as much when you're old and you have nothing to offer as when you're young and you've got your whole life ahead of you. God is not in love with us because of what we can give him. He's in love with us because he's God, and he's in love with us because that's who he is. So this verse says, embracing what God has done for me is the best thing I can do by believing it and offering my life up to him. He wants you alive. He wants me alive, but he needs me to come daily. You see, if you don't do this every day, it'll slip away from you. And your life will just go into oblivion. And before you know it, you're ruling your own life every day. And God becomes a part, but he's not Lord. You see, you can live called or you can live saved. When you live saved, you fit God into your life. You're going to get to heaven. You're living saved. When you live called, you fit into God's plan for your life. And now the adventure begins, because now you begin to walk by faith and not by sight, and you begin to hear the Holy Spirit and you begin to follow him. You see, this is about walking in the Spirit every day, a living sacrifice. What does that mean? Well, it means, and I love this little story that in the book called The Mysteries, it's written by a messianic rabbi. He told the story of walking with the Holy Spirit. Just a simple little thought that might help you every day in your offering yourself up as a living sacrifice. He was teaching his disciple, and he took his disciple out on a windy day into the desert, and he said, I want you to walk against the wind. And that disciple walked against the wind, and he said, now what do you feel? He says, I feel resistance. It's hard to walk. The sand's in my face. The wind's in my face. He says, absolutely, because you're walking against the wind, and the wind is creating drag. There's friction. It's not as easy for you to walk against the wind. He said, now turn around and walk with the wind. As he turned around with the wind at his back, pushing him, there was no longer spitting sand in his face. There was no longer resistance. Everything was easier. He says, what do you feel? He says, well, everything's easier. He said, exactly. When you walk in the direction of the Holy Spirit and not against him, life is going to be easier, because the word for spirit in the Hebrew is ruach, and that means wind. And God says it's holy. It's a holy wind. And this teacher said, all you have to do is walk where the holy is. Go where the holy is going. Walk in the wind. Don't walk against it. Walk with it. And you see, as you and I just take steps every day and we walk where the holy is, what is the holy? God is holy. God is holy, just, and good. Go where justice is. Go where goodness is. Go where God's light is. Go where God's love is. Go where God's word says to go. Not where this world says to go. Not what this world deems as justice and social justice, but what God says is right and what God says is wrong. You are joined back to the Father. He has a spirit on the inside of you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are now connected to the Godhead. He can tell you what is right and what is wrong if you'll listen, if you'll go with the wind of the Spirit, walk where the holy is. And how can you know that if you're not in the Word and beginning to learn His Word? That's why you can't just handle one church service. It's not enough. You've got to begin to devour this book. You've got to begin to have a passion to know God, to begin to care about these things. But that's point three, so we'll go on from there. So go where the holy is going. Offer ourselves a living sacrifice, number one. Number two, how am I to do this? Well, the priests were to take out the ashes every day. Can I have a picture of those ashes? Do you have it? Ashes. Do you know what ashes will do? Ashes are what is left of what has been completely consumed by that burnt offering, that fire. All the energy is gone. There's no life left in it. It's a pile of ashes. And those ashes, when they pile up, will actually hinder a fire from sparking and continuing. It will stop a fire because there's no energy in it. There's no life in it. There's nothing to burn. It's burnt out. And it's interesting that God said to the priests, every day you have to clean out those ashes. Every day, you've got to change your clothes, you've got to take those ashes, and you've got to carry them outside the camp. There was a very specific place to put them, and you've got to dump them, and you have got to make sure that those ashes don't stay on you. And then you've got to come back and put on your priestly garments. Now, what has that got to do with keeping my flame burning? Well, I believe those ashes represent that which has already been consumed in our lives. That's our yesterdays. That's the good and the bad. You see, it's very easy to look back at what once was. You know, when I stepped out of ministry here, and Jim and I stepped back, and God said, I want you to release this church now to the next generation. For 2 years, I've been flopping around like a fish out of water, not knowing what to do with myself. I studied the Word of God. I taught every week at this campus. And all of a sudden, I had nowhere to go and nowhere to teach. And I found myself getting a little bitter. I found myself not reading my Bible anymore because I had nowhere to teach. I found myself watching television. Oh, I watched every Downton Abbey you could think of twice. I've watched the Doc Martens. I've watched everything clean I could find on television for 2 years. I have binged on television. And my prayer life, oh, I prayed, but I didn't hunker down because I didn't know what to do with myself. I was disappointed and I was lost. Is that okay if I'm honest with you? Because that's where you live. That is exactly where you live. God didn't come through in that prayer. That marriage didn't work out. That child didn't get healed. That job didn't come through. My life hasn't changed. I've been believing God and nothing's different. And before you know it, you can begin to step back and the ashes begin to pile up on the fire and they begin to stop the fire. You see, a root of bitterness is very subtle. And you don't even know you're carrying it. You're fine. You're fine. Everything's fine. Everybody asks how you are. I'm fine. God's good. But you see, God knows what's on the inside of our hearts. And that's why he said every day, you got to get rid of those ashes. You got to, Debbie, you've got ashes from the past. Yes, you traveled the world. Yes, you went to nations. Yes, you did all these things. But child, that was a season. And don't you realize that babysitting your grandchildren on a Sunday so your kids can preach is as important to me as you going into Africa and having women's conferences? Don't you see that, child? You see, it's all to God what he's asked you to do. It was my heart that was all messed up. I was looking back at once was and not looking in today. At what is. Oh, let me say it again. Point number two, we've got to take out the ashes, stay in the day. We got to take out the ashes and stay in the day. What does that mean? God's made us to live time, to live life, excuse me, in time, in measurements, 24 hours a day. He said, daily pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus told us not to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will take care of itself. He said today is sufficient for its trouble. Stay in the day. We are children of the day. The priests were to take out the ashes daily. So what does that say to me? That says that in my life, as I daily offer myself as a living sacrifice, I have to make sure that I take out the ashes. That as I look back at what once was or what wasn't, because it can go good or bad, God says, don't go back. I want you to stay in the day. I want you to live in this moment, and I want you to live in faith in this moment, and live with me in this moment, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today. Does that make sense? Take out the ashes, stay in the day. So what does that mean? It means that what has happened to me in the past cannot burn new fires for today. What has happened to me in my past, good or bad, will not be able to burn new fires for me today. The good cannot be held on to. The praise, the glory, the former things, but I must look for the new in today. Don't look back at the bad. It cannot burn anything new today. I can't eat the bread of self-pity. Self-pity is so subtle. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 31, it says that she does not eat the bread of self-pity. It's a spirit. It sits on your shoulder or in your heart, and it will tell you how you are not understood and how life has not been fair. You see, those are ashes. You begin to eat that stuff. And what happens is your ashes start to pile up and your fire is completely quenched. And instead of being on fire for him, you don't even know you're bitter. You don't even know you're depressed. You don't even know you're discouraged. You don't even know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. We didn't take out the ashes every day. And they can't touch you. When you collect those ashes of yesterday, you get them out of there and just say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that I've got a clean place to put these ashes. Your heart, your blood, your life, and Lord, you didn't do it yesterday, but today is a brand new day I'm living in today. And God, anything is possible to those that believe. So I thank you for today. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, God doesn't want you broke down and depressed. He doesn't want you always in some kind of dread, wondering if he even knows you. He loves you. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And he's got a plan for your life, whatever season that is. And it's exactly what will make you fulfilled. It's exactly what will bring him pleasure. And it's exactly what will bring fruit and bear fruit for the King. All you have to do is walk where the holy is. Walk with the wind, not against it. And not look at yesterday, but live in the day. So, point number two, take out the ashes every day. Stay in the day. Last one, are you all right with me? Number three, the priests, they were to bring the burnt offering. They were to offer it every day. We're to offer ourselves up as living sacrifices daily. And I verbally do it. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, here I am this morning. I offer my life up as a living sacrifice. And you know what? It's always amazing to me that he is waiting and ready and thrilled for me to do that. Number two, I got to take out the ashes. I can't look back. What's back is what's behind me is behind me. And God, yeah, I can look forward, but I don't want it. He doesn't want me living in the future. He wants me living in today. So I don't miss today because today is the day. Amen. Number three, the priests were then commanded by the Lord to put fire, to put wood on the fire. Let's read that. You know, let me just, before I go on, and I've got a little bit of time because I'm not reading my notes, and I probably should, it'd be a better message. The verse that God gave me for this beginning of this was Isaiah chapter 42, and it's a messianic prophecy. Messianic means it's a Messiah. It's going to speak about what's coming. Jesus is bringing forth his Messiah, the seed of the woman. And in Isaiah chapter 42, it says, behold, chapter 42 verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. In other words, he's not going to be a showboat. He's going to do signs, wonders, and miracles, but he's not there to parade himself. He's going to be cloistered. You're going to have to look for him. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering flax he will not quench until he brings forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering flax he'll not extinguish. In Israel, they had olive oil and they had lamps that looked like Aladdin's lamp. They were made out of clay. That was their lighting source. It was olive oil and a flax. It was a wick made out of flax. Flax is beaten linen that's beat up and pounded, and then it's spun into a linen fabric. And they would make a thick wick out of this flax. Then they would put it into the olive oil in this Aladdin's lamp, and they had these lamps all over their houses. And there came a time when those wicks would just smolder. They would come to the end of themselves, and they would not be able to have a light. And this verse says a bruised reed, you know what a reed is? He's not gonna break it. He's not gonna rip it out of the ground. And a smoldering flax, he's not gonna extinguish. When I talk about taking out the ashes daily, living in the day, what this verse is saying is that no matter what's happened in your life, if you have had a horrible thing happen, if God has seemingly not come through in your life, that child died or that divorce went through, that husband left you, that wife left you, that job that you were believing for, you got fired or it didn't happen and it was given to somebody else. That disappointment, those parents that just weren't good parents to you, the things that life brings you, no fault of your own, you are thrown into these situations. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through and he's not going to extinguish your little bit of spark. But he's going to blow on it, and he's going to cause a flame to come back if you'll trust him. A bruised reed he won't break, and a smoldering flax he'll not extinguish. So whether you are looking back at what was in your life and no longer is, or whether you're looking back at what wasn't in your life, God has a plan, and God is not going to let your flame go out if you will simply offer yourselves up daily. And if you will take out the ashes, that means that you're not going to go there. That means you're not going to let that touch you anymore. That means you're not going to dwell on that negative thing. You're not going to talk about it. You're not going to be frustrated about it. You are going to absolutely throw it away in a trash can and take it out to the dump, because that's exactly what it is. It's yesterday's ashes, and they're not going to touch you anymore. A bruised reed he won't break, a smoldering flax he'll not extinguish. The last one, number three. You know, there's so many scriptures about this, guys. He'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for heaviness, for a spirit of heaviness, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. God knows what life is like. Jesus lived it for us. You can go to him and you can talk to him about what's going on. He's not unwilling to listen. What he is saying is, give it to me, cast your cares on me, tell me about it, and then let's take it out together. Because today is a brand new day, and with God all things are possible. The last thing is, these priests had to put fresh wood on the fire every day. In Leviticus chapter 6, let's go back there, verses 12 and 3. And I'm going to be reading out of the Amplify. It just inflates it just a little bit. And the fire upon the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be allowed to go out. God does not want the fire to go out. He started that fire. He's going to keep it going. It's a gift. But we have to tend it. Do you understand that? Our hearts have been set aflame by him, just like he put the fire on that altar. Leviticus 9, he put the fire on those sacrifices. That's God's fire. He met Moses in a burning bush. He was the pillar of fire by night. Jesus said, I've come to have a baptism of fire. There were tongues of fire on their heads. God's a God of fire. He's a God of passion. He's put fire on the inside of us. He doesn't want timid, intimidated people. He wants passionate, loving people that are crazy about him. And like Marilyn said, have some crazy faith so we can begin to believe in what has to be brought into this earth. And God says, and the fire upon the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be allowed to go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall be burning continually upon the altar. It shall not go out. The priests are to lay wood on the fire. What does that mean, to lay wood on the fire? That means that that fire's got to have fuel, and those priests have to put some wood on it. Now, I equate that, number three, as staying connected, because wood can't burn by itself. You put one piece of wood by itself, watch it catch fire. It's not going to catch fire. It's got to have kindling. It's got to have at least two other pieces to create air and friction, and it's got to burn. You can't do this by yourselves. I can't do this alone. I can't be isolated from you, and you cannot be isolated from me. We are not called to live a life in seclusion. We are called to live a life in community. It's called the local church. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 and 25, and I'm almost finished. So let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess, and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable and sure and faithful to his word. Hold on to your hope, he said to the church. Hold fast to that hope, and don't let you let go of it. And let us consider and give attention and continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up and stimulate and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people. Some people were not going to church anymore in the book of Hebrews. Just like today, 2,000 years later. Some things haven't changed. But this is what the writer says through the power of the Holy Spirit. But admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. I submit to you, we are closer to that day than we've ever been. We are 2,000 years closer than we were when this was penned by the Spirit of God 2,000 years ago. We are to assemble ourselves together. Why? Because you need accountability, and so do I. Why? Because I need fuel. I need fire, and your fire is going to help me ignite my fire. Your encouragement's going to encourage me. My accountability to you is going to help me stay straight. When I've got a community of friends and people that say, oh no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. You don't want, no. All things are profitable for you. You can do them, but not all things are good for you. Are you sure you want to think about that? You sure you want to go in that direction? You see, accountability will keep you strong. When you are all by yourself and you're in your home and you're isolated and you can watch whatever you want on TV, eat whatever you want to eat, smoke whatever you want to smoke, drink whatever you want to drink, do whatever you want to do. You see, nobody can see but God. But God says, I don't want you living that kind of life. I want you living a life out loud, in front, and in the open, because you need each other, because the enemy will come in like stealth and rob your joy, rob your defenses, rob your convictions. He's going to try to separate you from the Word of God, just like he did Eve. Hath God said you shouldn't eat from that tree? Just like he did with Jesus. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. What, you think if he's going to do it to Jesus, he's not going to do it to us? Every week, every day you are being bombarded with demonic suggestions. He speaks into our minds. But when you come to church, when you have a prayer partner, when you have a small group, when you are part of a church, and you call somebody up and say, man, I've had a bad week. I've had a tough week. I think the devil's been talking to my mind. I don't know. I've been fighting with my husband. I've been discouraged, depressed. All of a sudden, on the other end of that line says, well, let's pray. You're not in this by yourself. You're not alone. This happens to all of us. And when you realize that you're not so bad, you're normal, and that God has an answer, and God has a plan, all of a sudden, you're no longer this lone sheep set out there by yourself to be devoured by the wolves. You are now in a strong community of faith, and you can put wood on the fire. So kings and priests, God says, I want you aflame. I want you passionate for me. I want you to exit this world in more power than when you entered this world. I want the church of the last century, whenever that's going to be, I want you going out in more power than the early church. And what they did in the early church, let's just exponentially believe that God wants to do even more than that on a global scale in every community of faith, in every church, in every city, in every state, in every nation. But it's going to take a people that are called by God, that will believe that they are kings unto their God and priests unto their God, that will believe God, that they've got duties, priestly duties, that we represent God to mankind, and we represent mankind to God, that we have accountability, that number one, we offer ourselves up every day living sacrifices. Number two, we take out the ashes every day. Live in the day. Don't live yesterday and don't live tomorrow. Live in the day, and it's a good day. And number three, pile that wood on the fire. Get into church, get into a small group, get into some kind of ministry, start serving in the house, listening to the Word of God. Don't just listen to the pastors here, go online. There's so many wonderful teachings now. You can hear the Word all the time, and get your spirit so strong and full of God that you can take that sword out and you can slice and dice, hold that shield of faith up, and you can kick some butt and you can be what you're supposed to be, which is the body of Christ, kings and priests unto our God. Did you get something out of tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.